And now, live from WASR Socially Distant Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hossick.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hossick, we are Mike and the Haas. Charlie, how are you doing today?
Beautiful day. I'm doing really well. One thing before we jump into this, a couple of people actually asked me today. I said, oh, we got the show. And they're like, what do you mean the show? I thought it was on Fridays. Well, we have moved into our summer hours. Happy summer. Today's the first day of summer. And our summer hours are Monday and Thursday from 4 to 5. So we're going to be on twice a week, kind of back to our similar schedule that we had in the, in the winter. And Monday, Thursday. So looking forward to that. I am not doing as well as you are.
What makes you think that I'm doing well?
You had the opportunity to spend the entire day at a water park, at Whale's Tail Water Park.
What makes you think that I am doing well?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you got to be out in this beautiful swampy-esque weather. It's like hot and humid, and the first day of summer. And what better place to spend it than at Whale's Tail Water Park with the eighth grade?
The first thing I said to you when I walked in was that I am out of field trip shape.
Definitely.
Because, you know, in a normal school year, the eighth grade, we take four or five field trips, you know, substantial ones.
Sure.
So you get in shape, ride the bus, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not in that kind of shape right now.
No. Because this was
the first field trip since last, not this past February, but the February before.
Yeah,
February 2019.
It's been a long time.
2020. It's been a while, and our kids were phenomenal. They were great,
and I'm sure they had a blast.
They had because we were. Whale's Tail holds 1,200 people. That's their maximum capacity.
That's a lot of people,
and we were they only opened for us, and then in one other small group. So we were around 250.
That's awesome. So it was really as far as management from an adult perspective, it's a piece of cake.
It was very easy. I took a nap.
You didn't hit any, you hit some slides.
I did not. Not a one.
No? Not even the lazy river?
Not even the lazy river. Well, the commitment of getting wet was my problem. I just did not want to.
Now see, I would have been all in.
Do you know who was all in? Coach Tom McCullough.
I was gonna say Coach McCullough must have been all
every
in.
Every ride, running from ride to ride. He was bowling over kids trying to get up the
throw him out of the way, first in line.
Yes,
I can see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He and Coach Manning went on a tandem ride.
Oh my gosh.
With a 400-pound limit.
Wow.
They broke the rules.
Yes, they did.
And they almost went off the thing.
That was always my biggest fear. Like, at the end, like, will the end stop me? And, you know, where even when, like, you do snow tubing, like, you know, am I going to go through the, you know, mesh netting at the end?
No. They almost went up. It was, I don't describe it, but
yeah.
Whale's Tail is a great park.
Yeah.
It is. They have new, they're, you know, changed the rides. They're new.
Yeah,
you know,
they keep it fresh.
Going, and again, they were great. But, yeah, they have some scary ones, those drop ones, and the toilet bowl.
Yeah,
they love the toilet
round,
bowl.
Around, and then
you get dumped in, you know, in the toilet bowl.
That's awesome.
So, but yeah,
well, that's good.
I'm glad Coach Manning, they covered the teachers as far as
they did
doing that. Yes.
And I'm sure they had a blast, and it's great. And what a great way for the moving the eighth graders along to high school, kind of their end of the year. Because typically, and I've done it many times with you, we go to Canobie Lake.
Canobie Lake's our traditional one, but Canobie Lake was not open for us.
Staffing issues.
Yeah, and so they don't know if they're even how many days they're going to be able to open per week.
I know. That's crazy. I mean, we're seeing
staffing.
That in all businesses.
The airlines, they canceled 400 flights yesterday because they staffing issues.
They just don't have it. You know,
that's scary stuff.
You know where there aren't any staffing issues, though? Right here at WASR, because we have Eric Scott, our manager.
Well, he is the staff.
I mean, he is the man.
Yes, he's the staff.
So, and of course, he's got the Eric Scott show, which is always exciting to listen to.
He does it all. That's on Mondays, too.
Yeah.
So Mondays, you get the Eric Scott show and Mike and the Haas.
I know. It's pretty cool.
We should go back to back.
If only they could see Eric rolling his eyes.
Mike and the Haas is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro, and can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM, and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Haas or WASR to receive $5 off a gingy box. You can always join our conversation, 569-LAKE, 569-5253. By the way, shout out to Abby.
Yes.
Your daughter. We had
Thank
a graduation
you.
Party the other night.
Yep.
And do you know what was there?
Yum Yum Shop cupcakes, gingerbread cookies, and chocolate chip cookies. And I do want to give a shout out not only to Yum Yum Shop, but to Peter Kelly. Thank you so much. They were delicious, and we really appreciate you not only providing the treats, but of course being at the party.
Yep.
Thanks to you, Mike, also for the use of your table. And some trash bags and bailing me out with lawn mowing and all that stuff.
Where is that table?
The table's still, you asked me to leave it outside.
I did?
I don't know. I thought you
left. I think that was Pete.
Oh, Pete, sorry. It's right next to Pete's table. So, Pete, thank you for letting me use your table. And Pete, if you're listening, your chair is there as well. Right. Hey, I wanted to let you know, there was a good chance you weren't going to be on time today.
There was a very good chance.
So, Eric and I were going to have to open the show. And here's something that I'm thinking about.
Is he disappointed that I'm on time? Because was he looking forward to jumping in on this?
No, he isn't.
I think secretly you were, Eric. But here's something that I'd like to do in the future. I think having Eric on the show would be a good thing because we know, and Eric's the first to admit it, he's not a huge sports fan, and he has to suffer. Easy. He has to suffer through our sports talk a couple hours each week.
We've been on this radio station for almost 10 months now. I think he's a much more of a sports fan now than he was before.
I agree. But I think we should have Eric on for a segment at some point because I have a million questions that I love to ask him. And it'd be nice to get our listeners to get to know Eric Scott. Not only is Eric the station manager, he's pretty much our producer of our show. He's pretty much the screen caller. He kind of does it all. He provides us with water and air conditioning.
Do you remember when we tried to get the station manager at the TV studio on the show?
Yeah.
That didn't work out real
well. No, the station manager at the TV station, Timothy is a pretty private guy and doesn't want to come on. But, you know, Eric tells us the weather every single day. He's got his own show. He is a radio expert.
Eric, was it supposed to rain today?
Yes.
It was. It was.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So it was. It called for thunderstorms around noon up there. And I actually got a call from Whale's Tail saying, offering to cancel the trip and we'll do it another time.
Really?
Because the rain that was coming. It never came.
It never came.
The kids did some anti-rain dance, and
I guess
it worked.
But, you know, we all know, we understand the weather a little bit. It thunderstorms build. You have to build throughout the day with the heat and everything. So.
Well, the heat's not quite as much as it was before. On Friday, it was supposed to be in the mid-90s. It's warmer down here than it was up in Lincoln.
I was going to say, I recessed today. I just about melted.
Good.
So it was pretty hot.
You know one of the problems with not having our computers open?
What? What's the problem? Oh,
the
time. Oh, the time. We're doing fine with time.
I know we are.
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead. Our takes are pretty much similar, but go ahead. Why don't you start?
Well, I did mine real quick on the bus at the beginning of the day. And if you followed basketball, which we follow basketball,
yes,
we're not exactly big fans of the NBA, of how the NBA is built and some of the teams in the NBA, some of the players in the NBA.
Right.
But a good thing happened this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it was?
The Brooklyn Nets lost.
All the super teams lost.
Okay.
All of them.
Yep.
And, you know, consider Philadelphia a super team. Philadelphia's a little bit different. The process.
Yeah.
You know, the Nets loss, the Lakers loss.
Mm-hmm. All the hand-picked super teams.
Yes.
Gone.
And that's a good thing. The NBA has got to get away from this. Part of the problem, though, of them losing is that there aren't many stars left. And there's four teams left.
Right.
And you got some young stars like Trae Young and, you know, you got to.
Don't you think that's good for basketball, though? It's okay
that there are no stars left?
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's, for right now, don't you think that's, I think it's okay because it's going to allow you to see maybe the next generation of stars?
I think it's better to have no stars rather than teams full of stars.
Sure. It turns into an all-star type
thing.
Right.
I would rather have this. But I also like to see one or two. I like to see Jordan in the finals or Larry Bird in the finals.
Well, you'll still get to see Giannis.
Or Tim Duncan in the finals.
Yeah.
You know, so, yes, Giannis is still around.
Yeah.
But, you know, Giannis hasn't won anything yet. So, you're going to see Kawhi still there. I'm just glad these super teams are done.
Yeah.
I really am. Now, you can make an argument that the Clippers, because they have Kawhi and Paul George there, that maybe they're still a super team. And they get kind of put together. But I'm happy LeBron's out. I am really happy the Nets are out.
Yeah.
I'm really happy Philadelphia's out. I mean, that was really a good
interesting thing about the Nets, and I don't know if you feel the same way I do. I don't really have a problem. I mean, I guess I only have a problem with Kyrie, but I actually like Harden and I like, you know, Durant. They don't do anything that makes me say, you know, I don't want to watch this team. The problem is when you have all three of them together, I think that becomes the issue.
I think what they did was they got in together in somebody's basement and decided to say, hey, let's leave the teams that we're on.
Right.
Let's work our way out of town and play together wherever that is, whether it's the Knicks, the Nets.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think it mattered where they played as long as they played together.
Right. And so because of that, I don't like them. Mm-hmm. I like Harden's game. I like Kyrie's game.
Yeah.
I like watching his game.
Talented player, sure.
Did you see that he threw out something? His quote was that after he beat the Celtics, if they beat the Celtics, that he was trying to sell themselves as America's team, that everybody should get behind them.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a narcissist. He is truly the epitome of himself.
Yeah. True definition of a narcissist.
But it's just good that these teams lost. And hopefully the NBA can figure out a way to get away from that model.
Right.
That they've developed, that the players have so much control and they can build their own teams. And they, you know, we've talked about it with Jason Tatum. Is Jason Tatum going to be a Celtic for life?
Right.
Is he going to try to get players to come here? Mm-hmm. Or is he going to just get together with, you know, he's playing in the Olympics now. You've seen there's five or six names now.
That's right.
Kevin Durant's one of them, and Draymond Green, and I forget a few of the other ones. But are they going to get together afterwards at McDonald's and you know, say, hey, let's put this out.
Yeah, a little bit later, we get a little JT talk because we're going to be talking a little bit of Celtics later on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they want to plan. Or, I mean, I'm not convinced that Jason Tatum is going to remain a Celtics player.
I don't think you should be because I think that he really, really feels that he's in that super upper echelon of players.
Right.
Even though we've shown stats where he's, you know, barely in the top 50 of some, you know, categories. He was not picked for the first team All-Pro, second team All-Pro, or third team All-Pro.
Yeah.
So that puts him out of the top 15 players
right.
in the league, right? I mean, five players per. Mm-hmm. But yet he envisions himself as that top end player.
Yeah, he thinks
player.
He's in the top 10,
so
if not the top five.
I could see a scenario where, you know, he puts himself together. I will say that, you know, the Celtics are the last team that came together as a big three and won their first year because the Heat didn't win their first year. And I think I'm going to give the Celtics a pass on this because it wasn't the players that put it together. It was Ainge that put it together.
Danny Ainge constructed the whole
thing. And Paul Pierce was already here.
Right.
And so he was.
So
you know,
he picked up Garnett and Ray Allen.
And through trade and signings.
Yes.
And so it was a general. I'm more okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with LeBron and, you know, him saying I'm going to take my talents to Miami with that big thing, the decision. Remember all that stuff? I don't want any of that. I don't want what happened. The general manager of the Brooklyn Nets had nothing to do with putting that Nets team together.
No, not at all.
And so if a general manager can work out numbers and stuff like that and get guys to come, that's one thing. That's a good general manager. But if players are dictating it, and agents are dictating it.
Yeah.
In lieu of the general manager,
they're taking control of the team.
That's where I'm drawing the line.
One of the things, and I kind of titled this, Mike, you are correct again, is that, and this isn't really new, but it's really surfaced again, where Blake Griffin had considered signing with the Celtics this past winter and was really talked out of it by multiple players in the league saying, you don't want to go to Boston. There are issues in Boston. And when I look now, you know, were the issues Brad Stevens? Were the issues Danny Ainge? Were the issues Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum? And I think a lot of those issues, obviously Blake Griffin made the right choice. He went to the Nets. But I think a lot of those issues had to do with the makeup of the locker room.
Well, you said there's issues in the locker room.
Absolutely. You know, so I'm going to give.
Dysfunctional is the word.
Dysfunctional.
That was the word.
Was the one that was used. So I think we really need to take a look. I mean, not we have no power over this, but. The Celtics need to take a look and see if Jason Tatum is worth keeping. I don't want to talk about this now, but I think the Celtics are positioning themselves that they could get rid of Tatum and get something in return.
Luka.
And I know you want Luka. And build around Jaylen Brown and, you know, Al Horford. And we're gonna talk about some of the new Celtics faces.
Do you think who do you think was the player that advised Griffin not to come?
Who do I think the player was? Kyrie Irving.
No, it was a Celtic.
Oh, but I mean, Kyrie Irving certainly wanted Blake Griffin to come to the Nets.
But there was a Celtics player that is currently on the team.
Oh, it's got to be JT, Jason Tatum.
All right.
I mean, unless it's Kemba Walker. But I mean, it could be Kemba because Blake Griffin's been around for a while.
Well, what's come out a little bit is that Kemba and Brad Stevens did not get along.
Right.
And that's come out. They did not see eye to eye. probably
because,
why.
You know, part of the reason is because Kemba Walker would be considered a veteran player who played terrible this year and had no leadership.
And was only on the court once every three games.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some good games where he came out and scored 35, but then you wouldn't see him for a week.
Right.
That's not what they need.
No, that's not veteran leadership.
No. I guess we're going to have to go to a break in a second, but we have some Celtics talk coming up. I don't want to. The Celtics starting lineup is interesting next year if it stayed the way it is, but I think it has the pieces to get a lot better.
Right. I agree.
All right. Mike and the Haas, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Haas. COVID got you looking a little sloppy, need a little trim, need a little haircut. Why don't you look for a new family stylist? We recommend Water's Edge Salon in beautiful Back Bay. Owner Sarah Morgan has been a hairstylist in our community for 15 years. Sarah is accompanied by Paige Moore, another experienced stylist. Water's Edge is open Monday through Saturday. Call Sarah and Company at Water's Edge Salon at 515-1070.
Or get the number at watersedgesalonnh.com.
Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or DuranIndependentInsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you.
Hey, this is Mike and Charlie from Mike and the Haas. If you're looking for a great night out, try the Full Belly Bar and Grill at Kingswood Country Club. The Bar and Grill is a delicious Friday night prime rib for $20, plus additional food and drink specials every night.
Hey, Mike, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro for some of the tastiest subs in town. You have to try the Full Belly Deli. Both restaurants offer delivery and takeout. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955.
And you can reach the Bar and Grill at 603-569-9869. And check out the 2021 Summer Concert Series on the Full Belly Bar and Grill Facebook page.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to.
Welcome back, 569-5253, 569-LAKE, if you want to join us. Are we going to hold off on the Celtics until we get to their Celtics segment now, or do you want more to say on that?
No, let's hold off because we're going to do a little Kingswood stuff, and then we're going to go Red Sox, and then we actually have a whole segment on the Celtics later on coming up after, of course, Eric's Wonders. So
can't wait for that.
I know. I can't wait for that. I know. Absolutely. So one of the things I know that we had Mary DeMacy on the show before for the Kingswood Athletic Boosters. First, I'd like to thank Mary for her dedication and service. Mary's finished with the Kingswood Athletic Boosters. Both her boys have graduated and are moving on. So officially July 1st, we have a new board at Boosters. Kara Shannon will remain president, and I will become vice president. And, of course, Sandy Swinnerton will be the treasurer. One of the things, though, that we didn't have an opportunity to talk about, Mike, we did talk a little bit about senior athletic awards and how well run that was and how much fun it was and what a great evening for our student athletes. But one of the things that I just wanted to mention, because it's important, and I know for you it has some really important significance. But Kingswood Athletic Boosters offers three scholarships every year for students as they go on to their secondary education. Or post high school education, whether it's college or trade school. One of those scholarships is named after Paul Harvey, and Paul Harvey was a longtime coach and custodian within the system. The other one is named after Paul Duran, and we thank Paul because Duran
Independent Insurance. Duran's independent, works for you.
Yeah, so Paul Duran is obviously a Kingswood alum and a local businessman, and we appreciate Paul Duran. And then the newest one was named after a longtime teacher and athletic coordinator Sally Stewart. And I just wanted to take a moment. I thought it would be important. There was a little a little speech. We're calling it the Sally Stewart Memorial Athletic Boosters Award that was given at the at the Student Athlete Awards night. And in March of 2018, Kingswood Regional Middle School lost a longtime beloved math teacher, Sally Stewart. Mrs. Stewart began teaching math at KRMS in 1978. For generations, Mrs. Stewart touched the many lives in our community. She was a teacher, a coach, a team leader, an athletic coordinator, and an advisor. She worked with thousands of students and families, collaborated with hundreds of staff members, served on countless committees, assisted with school improvement projects, and loved walking through the doors of the middle school every morning. Her impact on our community is limitless. Mrs. Stewart was an icon at Kingswood, not only for her longevity, but also for her attention to detail, her high expectations for the students she taught, her generous heart, and of course her dry and witty sense of humor. Mrs. Stewart was willing to help anyone in need and never expected anything in return. The Kingswood Athletic Boosters is going to present an award in her honor. From this point on, it will be known as the Sally Stewart Athletic Boosters Award, and it will represent the strong work ethic, values, and character that Mrs. Stewart brought with her each and every day during her 40 years as a Kingswood Knight. We will always be inspired by the legacy of excellence and dedication Sally left behind. So that was something that was important to the community. And when it was brought to the attention of boosters, boosters wanted to make sure that there was a someone, you know, within our community that had such an impact on not only students but student athletes and the community as a whole. And I think it's wonderful that Sally Stewart was selected, and that this will now continue on for hopefully generations and generations for students to receive this award. I know you had an opportunity. I only spent 3 short years working with Sally at the middle school, and I know you spent a significant amount of time working with Sally.
Yeah, it's, you know, Sally suddenly passed, you know, in March, like you said, 2018. Not only is the booster scholarship one of the booster scholarships, but also our math award at the middle school is named after Sally too.
Wow.
And tomorrow I'm gonna be giving that math award, and and you know, a lot of the speech that you just read is part
similar
of that
sure,
that came from that. I remember the first time doing it, which was in June of 2018. We were still reeling from Sally's sudden passing.
Sure.
And it was very emotional. But Sally certainly was unique, and she did a lot for the middle school athletic program. Mm-hmm. She worked very well with Andrea Ogden at the time, who was the athletic director for the high school. And they ran a tight ship.
They really did.
You know, it was really very organized, and it Sally took it to a level that it hadn't been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, still we maintain that level as far as an athletic coordinator that is really deep involved with each of the teams, especially at the middle school where kids are, it's their first dose of school sports. They've been playing their club sports, you know, Ripken and Abenaki lacrosse and things like
stuff.
That.
Sure.
But coming into a school sports, it's a little bit different. Your grades matter. Mm-hmm. Your attendance matters.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily mom and dad that are getting you there. You're at school. It's the kids' responsibility to understand when practice is, what equipment they're going to need. And so
right.
Sally did a nice job with educating the students and a lot of the new coaches, too.
Right.
You know,
and
how that
one,
works.
You know, one of the things for me with Sally was when my first year into the district, Sally, you know, hired me. She allowed me to coach. So I was able to coach middle school football and middle school basketball. So and she was I liked her because she was no nonsense. She kind of told me like it was and like it's gonna be, and you do it the Sally Stewart way. And if you know, if I could take anything from Sally, is that, you know, she taught me that, you know, working hard, being organized, and being dedicated to the students was number one priority.
Yep.
Also, that's exciting.
Awesome.
Well, I'm happy that she's gonna have a math award named after her. So.
Yeah, it's actually since 2018.
Oh, it has been that long.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's been that long. It used to be the Barbara Hatch Award.
Oh yeah.
And obviously, you know, Sally being such a, I mean, Sally taught for better than 30 plus years at the middle school.
Yeah.
So she was very, very deserving of that name being named in her honor.
Great.
All right. Red Sox.
Yeah. Not just the Red Sox, Mike. Your first place Boston Red Sox.
They went 1-2 this weekend.
I know. Can you imagine?
How are they in first place?
Thankfully, the Rays lost a couple more.
Yeah.
But this is, so it's June 21st,
yep,
first day of summer. And we are talking about the first place Red Sox. That for us is exciting, I would say. It's so nice that here we are, you know, almost all the way through June, and the Red Sox matter.
the Reds. I at some point I want to talk about the Stickum and the Spider Tack and all the and the
sure.
pitchers' reactions.
Yeah,
but some of the Red Sox are doing very well. Some of the Red Sox pitchers are doing very well,
mm-hmm.
Despite all that controversy, because we were worried about how many of the Red Sox were
going to be that were cheating and
yes.
were going to be impacted.
I'm not necessarily going with the cheating piece, because as I've listened to a lot of the pitchers talk, how to say this, that they were very impassioned about that this didn't necessarily make them a better pitcher. It made them a safer pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And that grip makes that difference. So Garrett Richards
yep.
pitched on Friday. He pitched on Friday, I believe. He had the number one curveball in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many curveballs he threw on Friday?
Two.
Four.
Okay.
The number
yep.
one curveball in the
yeah.
league, he threw four.
Because he couldn't get the grip. He didn't have the control that he wanted.
He couldn't get the grip.
Yeah.
So I had a bit last week about the cheating and where do we draw the line.
Right.
And I think, when we talk about this, I want my pitchers to have a good grip of the ball. As a batter,
right.
I want to
yeah.
go up there.
You don't want to
get
hit by a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Or a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
True.
And,
yeah.
Garrett Cole is one of the ones that had this impassioned speech about saying that, yes, I understand the spin rate and all this kind of stuff, but it makes me a safer pitcher.
Right.
And if you get hit in the head with my 100-mile-an-hour fastball, mm-hmm. you're not getting up.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a little bit of balance.
Do you think, though, I don't want to play devil's advocate, but I will a little bit. Just that seems like, yes, I don't want to get hit by a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. I agree with that. But it seems like that's just a way for them to say, I still want to be able to cheat. And I'm going to use it as a safety. I'm going to make it a safety issue now, because this hasn't happened in the past necessarily where the safety issue has come up.
Well, apparently they've been using the Spider Tack for many years.
Okay.
So I think that's they have had some sort of a sticky substance that they've been using.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much gray area with, is it cheating or is it competitive advantage?
Right.
And we've gone through it with Deflategate.
Yeah.
Was another one.
Exactly.
You took off 2 PSI.
Right.
Are we really cheating
yeah.
with that?
Especially, don't get me going, especially in that stinking game where the Patriots just ran the ball.
Okay. Spygate. We're allowed to
yeah.
tape the field, but if I pan 5 degrees over to the left
yeah,
and I pick up a coach.
Pick up a coach, yeah.
Now that's cheating.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a gray area as far as cheating goes. And the batter is allowed to use pine tar 16 inches up the bat, but you can't go 17 inches.
Right, and if you do, then you're George Brett and
you're
you get
cheating.
Called for it. Yeah, and it's interesting because we talked about this with sign stealing, and sign stealing in baseball is part of the game if you're doing it like, if you pick up signs. I mean, I'll put you on the spot. Do you ever try to pick up signs from your opponent?
All the time.
All the time. It's just part of the game.
Yeah, but,
now,
if you use technology, you're cheating.
Right. We don't use
if
technology.
If you use garbage cans, you're cheating.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
but if you're the guy on second and trying to pick up a sign, or your coach pick up a sign, then that's part of the game.
Why is a batter allowed to get a better grip on the bat, but a pitcher's not allowed to get a better grip
on
the pitcher?
They're going to tell you it's for safety reasons. So now, the pitchers are using the same argument.
So
you don't want the bat flying out of their hands.
I had a whole list of the different instances of where we deal. NASCAR. I know Josh is going to be joining us on Thursday about
yeah.
the Olympics. But NASCAR, there's you're allowed a 6-inch, the area between the ground and the car,
clearance.
Ground
clearance. 6 inches, but don't be 6.5 because that's cheating and you're out.
Okay.
But you could deflate the tires to get that half an inch, too.
You could.
There seems to be so much gray area, and then all of a sudden, the gray area becomes cheating.
Right.
And I don't know where that stops. It seems like somebody's just keeps moving the needle about where this is. Pitchers have been using substances to get grips on the balls forever.
I was going to say probably for 100 years.
I mean, they had spitballs back in the 60s.
Yeah, right.
Now, You've played football before. What do you
sure.
do to get a better grip on the football? You put a little spit in your hands and you can throw the ball
of
better,
course.
Right?
Or you spray a little something on your hands.
Right. Is that
yeah.
cheating? Is it cheating in football? Is that cheating? To get a better grip on the football, you spray something on your hands. Is that cheating?
Well, they had made it illegal for that, but now they wear gloves. And so have you seen some of the football gloves? I mean, I can Odell any ball with a glove on,
right?
Because it's a sticky glove.
Why can't a pitcher in baseball
yeah.
wear a glove?
I hear you.
Cheating.
Yeah, it is cheating. Yeah. Tom Brady, you know.
I had a whole instance of, you know, it was tennis racket size.
Yes, remember right, that? Right. You know, yeah, yeah. You can't have the oversized head or
grooves on a golf club. Square grooves compared to round grooves. Somebody had square grooves, and somebody accused them. They won a tournament, and they, you know, this is a few years
they
ago.
They had different grooves.
And they had different grooves. And says, well, that's cheating.
Is there, I don't know the answer to this, Mike, but with golf, can you use, are there different size clubs that are banned?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's, the driver can be no more than 460 cc's.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's cubic centimeters. That's what the cc means.
Sure.
Yeah, if you come up with 461, you're cheating.
That's cheating. Yeah. Interesting. Cool. It looks like we have to go to a break.
Eric's
not having a seizure. He's telling us we've gone over our time.
All right. We'll be right back. Mike and the Hoss.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Hoss. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your health care needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Hoss. If you're in the real estate market, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Fay brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Fay, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Fay. No one knows the local market better than Fay, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshop.com. Welcome back. Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the Yum Shop, 569-5253. We got off track with the cheating stuff.
We did.
We want to talk more Red Sox.
Yeah. So we had already mentioned in the first place, they got a big series coming up with the Rays. They got start tomorrow, 3-game series with the Rays and then the Yankees. So the Sox are actually in a position where they might be able to get a little bit of breathing room if they continue playing well. And you're probably going to say, well, they just lost 2 out of 3. You're right. And it's to the Royals, so that concerns me.
The American League East has not had a good month of June so far.
Right.
The Red Sox are the only team that has a winning record in the month of June for the American League East.
Yep.
What surprises with the Rays winning, it felt
so
like
many
won
in a row.
But yeah. They certainly cooled off in June.
You probably saw this. Jerry Remy, he's back. He's out of the hospital, back, feeling well, back in the booth. So that's always good news.
And less of emergency than they thought.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Well, I was listening. He says, I just lost my breath. Yeah. That's all. Nothing else.
But you just never know when somebody has had so many health issues in that age.
I'm not saying they overdid it.
No.
I'm just saying that his reaction was,
I'm okay.
I lost my breath.
Yeah.
That's it.
No worries.
Which is weird.
Bobby Dalbec, he's starting to hit the ball, which is great. He's actually, he went 3-for-3 the other night. Yep. He's actually starting to, I think he fell into this trap of he's either going to hit a home run or strike out. So now he's actually hitting the ball, and the average is starting to climb. And he had talked about, I watched a little interview with him, and he decided he'd just start choking up more in the bat.
But he did more than that. He started hitting the ball the other way. And on, I think it was Friday night game or Saturday's game. I think it might have been, what game did he have 3 hits? It was Friday night.
Friday night, so he went 3-for-3.
2 of those were to right field.
Yeah. He went oppo. Yeah.
And that's when I remember Manny Ramirez. When Manny Ramirez would go 0-for-4,
yep.
And I think he's the greatest right-handed hitter that the Red Sox have ever had.
Yeah.
When he would go 0-for-4, the very next game, all he would do was go the other way.
Yeah.
It's just a front shoulder thing, and it's a discipline thing, and that's why he was such a great hitter. Mm-hmm. And he never really had a big slump because he would just understand that if I go 0-for-4, then the way to get out of that is to go the other way.
Yep, and Bobby's doing that.
Yep.
Which is great. You saw the injury, Christian Arroyo.
No, I didn't see that.
He collided with Kiki, and the ball ended up dropping. But they ended up running into each other, and it looked like a more serious injury for Christian Arroyo. Thankfully, it isn't. He got a right shin bone bruise. But, you know, they did the, of course, they're going to do it. The x-rays and all that stuff.
Have you ever bruised your shin bone?
Oh, my gosh. It's wicked. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I was building a deck, and I was up, this is two or three houses ago.
Yeah.
And we were about 10 feet off the ground where I was building the deck. And so I was kind of hammering in between my legs.
Oh.
And I hit my shin as hard as I possibly could with the hammer.
Like you were driving the nail in.
Yeah. And it was probably 3 or 4 weeks that I barely could walk.
Yeah.
And it was singeing pain.
It's awful. I mean, and you hear, like, you know, I always joke around, I'm going to kick you in the shin. And if you get kicked in the shin, that really hurts.
Yep.
So I think the Red Sox, I mean, they're, like I said, they're trending in the right direction. I'm excited for the next 6 games and to see where they're going to end up. And I don't know. I'm just excited that baseball is back in Boston and we can have something to root for.
All I want is the Red Sox to be around for the summer.
Yeah.
That's it. It just makes it a better summer. We've said that often.
It does, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens as they play the Rays, who are now started to scuffle a little bit. The Yankees, who are definitely scuffling. You know, I'm happy they're getting the Rays right now because I think that's going to be a good matchup. I have a feeling the Yankees are getting ready to turn it on.
Yeah.
You
always have that in the back of your head. You're like, okay, you know, the Yankees, they stink this year, but not really. They're going to get going at some point.
I have a feeling they're getting ready to turn it on, and I'm hoping the Red Sox don't get them at that point. If they can get them right before that point, put some more distance in between them and the Yankees and them and the Rays, that'd be great. But it seems like it's going to be a two-team race. But I don't see anybody in the American League winning more than 94, 95 games.
Right. No one's running away with it.
So
we'll see what happens.
All right. I see this morning I was trying to think of what Eric's wonder was.
Yeah.
I've been pretty good about thinking
you
about
have,
him.
Yep. And we were talking about this the other day, like, I forgot.
And I forgot this morning. And then I saw the text and they said, you forgot too.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So, but we got it. So
yes.
Eric's wonder, sponsored by
Skelly's Market.
Yeah. The convenience store with a little more.
Yes.
So thank you, Skelly's Market. His question is, what is Tommy John surgery?
We probably should talk about, do you have who Tommy John
is? Well, Tommy John, Eric, do you know who Tommy John is or what he did?
I'm going to go with a pitcher.
He was.
Good.
Yeah, he was a
pitcher.
It was
some revolutionary surgery.
He was a pitcher back in the early 70s, and he was the first person to undergo this surgery, and we're going to talk a little bit about that.
So Tommy John was also one of the early pitchers to throw more than 100 miles an hour. He was a fastball pitcher, and then his elbow blew out, which Charlie's going to get into, and his career wasn't over because of the surgery that they did, which is pretty disgusting when they think about the surgery. But
yeah.
All right,
well,
you're up.
Let's talk before we let's define what Tommy John surgery is first, Eric. So Tommy John surgery, more formally known as ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction, is used to repair a torn ulnar collateral ligament, which is located inside the elbow. The UCL is a ligament on the inner side of your elbow that helps support your elbow joint. Some people, and it's mostly typically athletes that play throwing sports, experience UCL tears, and they need surgical repair. So you'll tear this ligament that requires you to have surgery. The UCL reconstruction surgery involves harvesting a tendon from your own body or from a donor, and attaching it to act as the new UCL. Tommy, we already kind of established this. Tommy John did not invent this procedure. He was the baseball pitcher who first had this surgery, so he was able to return to the sport. But let me tell you a little bit about the history of this surgery. It was created in 1974 by orthopedic surgeon Frank Jobe. Frank Jobe was a Los Angeles Dodgers team physician who served as a special advisor to the team until he passed away in 2014. We know that it's named after Tommy John, whose record of 288 career victories ranks 7th among left-handed pitchers. One of the things, the misconceptions here is that, actually, maybe not a misconception. In Tommy John's case, after he had won over 100 games, like I think it was like 166 games before he had to have the surgery, had the surgery rehabbed, and it can take 10 to 15 months for a pitcher to fully rehab, to be back to where they were before they had the surgery. And then he came back and was actually even stronger and continued to win, I think it was another 100-something games after having the surgery. Here's the thing that I found extremely interesting. There are parents of small children, you're talking like 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old kids, that want their kids to have the surgery as elective surgery, thinking that if they replace the UCL in the child's elbow, it'll be stronger and they'll become faster and stronger pitchers as they grow up and develop. There isn't a physician out there that is going to perform this elective surgery, but people have asked. And I just thought that was, oh my gosh. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Mike and I obviously have children that had been 10, 11, 12 years old, and there's no way, and you had children as well, there's no way I would choose an elective surgery for a child to, in hopes of having, you know, them be able to be the best pitcher on their, I don't know, little league team and eventually high school team and make it to the pros. But it's just crazy that these players wanted to have, these parents wanted to have elective surgery.
So currently, Eric, there is a very important pitcher in the Red Sox that has just went underneath, well, he went last year, and he's probably within a couple months of coming back, Chris Sale, who's really the best pitcher that's on the Red Sox, and he had this surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope is, now he's throwing live off the mound.
He is.
Now, one thing you had on here is that they start throwing 16 weeks after surgery.
That's right.
But yet still it's 12 to 15 months before.
12 to 15 months. And they're saying that you can start physical therapy within 2 weeks of the surgery so that you'll still have to wear a sling, but then that can come off and they can start doing some, you know, moving the elbow out back and forth. But after the surgery, your elbow is typically in a 90 degree or a 60 degree angle, and it has to stay that way for 2 weeks as the elbow rests and begins to heal.
Think about the impact on a pitcher's elbow.
Yeah.
If you can throw the ball after 16 weeks, so 4 months, but it still takes you 12 to 15 months to throw the ball hard.
Right.
So, it's just, there's a lot of impact on, you know, throwing the ball is not a natural motion for pretty much anybody. That's why softball pitchers can throw forever, because throwing the ball underhand is a natural motion.
Throwing
the ball overhand is not. You don't see softball players needing a Tommy John surgery.
No.
At least I don't think so. But I really
not at all.
That.
No. And,
you don't
and,
see
so,
them
and softball
major
pitchers
shoulder
can,
issues.
I mean, a softball pitcher could pitch a game today and 2 days later pitch a game.
All right.
But yeah, so you have you got a lot of issues with the throwing motion. Does that, Eric, answer your question as what is Tommy John surgery?
It does.
Awesome. All right. So keep an eye out, Eric, on Chris Sale, because he should be coming back to the Red Sox this summer, and we will see how successful his Tommy John surgery was.
I hope they're in first place when he comes back, or you know, at least around the top, because that's going to be so much more meaningful when he does come back.
I agree.
Brad Stevens is making moves.
He is.
I just read your line.
Yeah, you like that line?
So he got rid of Kemba before the NBA season even ended.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up Big Al.
He did. So he got rid of Kemba and the 16th overall pick to OKC. We got Al Horford coming back, welcoming him back to Boston. Moses Brown and a second round pick for the future.
How do you feel about that trade?
Great. Kemba Walker was kind of dead weight, you know, not helpful to the Celtics whatsoever. I was excited all in on him. I remember back when the Celtics season or before the Celtics season started, veteran leadership, you know, great player, and just he definitely fell off that cliff as far as age and ability to produce. So I think this is awesome. I think having Al Horford back is going to be a great addition for the Celtics, and I think this may impact Jason Tatum. I think having Al Horford back, I think there might be a good chance that we see Jason Tatum leave, because Tatum might be tired. You know, I put in here that he saw, you know, Javonte Green go to Chicago. Now Kemba Walker, who he was very friendly with, is gone. Good chance we're going to lose Tristan Thompson.
That's okay.
Tristan Thompson is a good friend of Jason Tatum. So there might come a point where Jason Tatum looks around and realizes, hey, I don't have any friends left on this team. Do I want to be part of this rebuild? Do I want to be part of this Celtics organization? And from my perspective, from, you know, my personal opinion, I say get rid of Jason Tatum. Let him go play with the Kyries and the LeBrons and do all that stuff. And I'd rather build around Jaylen Brown.
Starting lineup for the Celtics as they're constituted. So you get Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown.
Sure.
Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have Al Horford,
yeah.
And Robert Williams III.
Yeah, and we're all in on Robert Williams.
We are all in on Robert Williams. Yeah. That puts Marcus Smart as your point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You okay with that?
I'm okay with that as long as he doesn't shoot the three all the time. So
I don't know if I like Al. Is Al going to be somebody who can take control of that locker room? And they still don't have a coach.
No. We're still coachless. And I really, Mike, I know. I mean, actually, you might agree with me. I really want them to hire a female.
Well, I did. I said that to you right away.
Yeah, and I think, and the reason for that is because I think that is going to draw the type of players to Boston that the city of Boston deserves.
Yep. I think it's going to...
You know, if we're going to get like Chauncey Billups is not going to move the needle.
No, Sam Cassell is not going to move the needle. And I agree. And I think if they're just going to hire another guy, they're not going to go anywhere. They need to do something dramatic. And unfortunately, Boston kind of has a little bit of a, you know, not a very good mark in the NBA right now.
Right.
And part of that's Kyrie Irving's fault because he drummed up all that stuff. They've got to change their image.
Mm-hmm.
And being the first to hire a female coach, a qualified female coach, I think would help getting them.
And that's
them
the key, qualified. And both of those candidates are qualified.
Yep, I agree. All right. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some tennis.
I love it.
Female tennis.
Let's do it.
All right, Mike and the Haas.
Mike and the Haas is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
Are you getting married, celebrating anniversary, or just want to bring something beautiful to that holiday celebration? Lindis Flowers has been serving the Lakes region since 2003. They specialize in fresh-cut flowers, bouquets, plants, and gifts. Lindis Flowers is owned by Gwen, who is a Wolfboro native and focused on serving the local community. 569-4513, or stop by their shop, 91 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. The shop is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 1. You can also visit their website at flowersinwolfboronh.com, and Lindis Flowers will deliver right to your door. After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Welcome back, 569-5253. All right, we got some shout-outs that we want to do.
I do. First off, I want to shout out to Carroll County Oil, because I was presented the other night by one of the owners, Danny Drew. He gave me a wonderful shirt. It's a long-sleeve shirt that says Carroll County Oil, and Carroll County Oil, amazing oil prices, great office staff, wonderful owners. So check out Carroll County Oil, and thank you, Danny and crew, for my wonderful shirt. I promised you I was going to wear it today, but it's 90 and high humidity, and I just couldn't throw on the long-sleeve shirt.
Second shout-out is to Bailey's Bubble.
Mm.
And I want to just thank them. I get a frap there probably 3 or 4 days a week.
Wow.
And I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't.
I'm not going
I should be bragging about that, but I get a frap there 3 or 4, and it's the highlight of my day.
Yeah.
And when the days that I feel like I earn a frap, it's the highlight of my day.
And you deserve a frap every now and then.
Bailey's Bubble, every now and then, yes.
And Bailey's Bubble, great staff, obviously great owners, right down on Railroad Ave in the middle of Wolfboro. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so last week we did the men's tennis Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
And we said, obviously, this week we would do the women's tennis Mount Rushmore. So I'm going to read through our candidates.
Yeah,
and
please
then
do.
And then you and I are going to decide which one. So in no particular order.
Okay.
Martina Hingis.
Yeah.
Do you remember Martina Hingis?
I do. I remember the name.
Okay.
Yep.
Good player. Was a dominant player for quite a while. 45 titles, 5 Grand Slams.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yep.
She's from, Czechoslovakia.
Yep.
Okay.
Yvonne Guligang.
Yeah, so I like how you say that, because at first I was looking at it, I don't remember her, but part of the reason why I don't remember her is she retired in 1983.
Yeah. 7 Grand Slam singles titles.
Mm-hmm.
Justine Henin?
Justine Henin.
I remember the name, don't remember seeing her too much. She retired in 2008 and again in 2011, 7 Grand Slams.
Wow.
Venus Williams.
I'm familiar with Venus Williams.
Seven Grand Slam titles, 49 career titles. She is still playing.
She's still playing, yeah.
Yep, she's still playing. Billie Jean King.
Oh, yeah, I love Billie Jean King.
Nine Grand Slam titles. That was four Australian, three French, two U.S. Opens. Also, when she played Bobby, help me out here, Bobby Riggs.
Yeah,
Bobby Riggs. And
wait a minute. It looks like Eric might be a tennis fan. Are you a tennis fan? A little bit. All right, we found something.
But that was more than tennis. Didn't they have that, like, the greatest match ever or something like that?
Can a man beat a woman kind of thing.
Or can an average man, Bobby Riggs was an average, retired tennis player, right?
Right.
He was a retired tennis, and Billie Jean King was in the prime of her career.
Yeah.
Correct.
The best
and,
of the best.
And he said that as a retired tennis player, he could beat Billie Jean King.
Yeah.
And she smoked him.
Yeah.
It wasn't
and
even
that
close.
Was, that was the I Am Woman era, too. So it took on this whole giant thing.
Yeah.
And,
I do remember
and
that.
And if I remember right, King destroyed him.
Yes.
Destroyed him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she smoked him.
Yep. Smoked him.
All right. Chris Evert.
Yep.
18 Grand Slam titles.
Wow.
Two Australian, seven French, three Wimbledon, six U.S. Open. Margaret Court.
Did you miss one?
Did I?
No. Yeah, you missed Monica Seles.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
This must be, I must have gotten this out of order.
Monica Seles,
yeah.
12 Grand Slam singles titles.
Yep.
Yeah. One Australian, just the grunting. She obviously was a great tennis player, but to me, she was known for two things, that she did the grunting and that she was stabbed.
She was
during
stabbed,
a match.
Yeah.
During a match, somebody came out of the stands and stabbed
her
in the back.
Yep.
And that was bizarre. That whole thing was bizarre.
And Eric had mentioned before the show that there was kind of that phase where they wanted to take making any noises out of tennis, removing it. You know, keeping everybody quiet.
That I was distracting. Yeah. Well, not just her. Martina Hingis was a grunter too.
Yeah.
When he was grunting.
Speaking of that, I mean, the whole grunty thing. I mean, when you go to the gym and stuff and you get those people just making.
Oh, yeah.
Just, it's, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Nothing drives me crazier.
Yeah. Especially when they're lifting like 8 pounds.
Yeah. Good point.
Okay. Martina Navratilova, 24 Grand Slam titles.
Wow.
Steffi Graf.
Yes.
18 Grand Slam titles. And finally, Serena Williams, 22 Grand Slam titles.
Now, Steffi's still playing.
She is?
Isn't she still playing?
I don't think so.
No,
she
I guess
retired
she's not.
1994.
No, she, yeah,
no
she's
wrong.
She's gone in 99.
These are kind of orders, out of order.
I think she retired in 1999.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so you get Steffi Graf and, of course, Serena Williams, who is a current player.
Yes. Yeah. And then we have another page for Serena. Okay. All right, so let's just play this real quick. Well, not too quick. We have some time left.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time here. We have to pick our top four for our
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, female Mount Rushmore for tennis.
All right. Well, let's start with you. Give me one.
Well, let's
All right. Don't do my game. What are you going to do?
I'm sorry. I will play your
I'm
game.
I'm just kidding.
Well, why don't we agree? Can we kind of agree on who number one is? It's kind of like the Tom Brady of tennis. I mean, I would say Serena Williams would be the best tennis player, female tennis player of all time.
What are you basing that on?
I'm basing it
Let's go to the stats there, big boy.
Yeah, let's do it.
23 Grand Slam titles.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the most? I'm just asking.
I don't think it's the. Well, I think so because.
So who's
this? Yeah, because Steffi Graf has 22.
Then who is the 24? Is that? I don't understand some of the.
Is
there stats above?
I don't know how the stats go, but Steffi Graf, Serena Williams has been playing. She's been playing for 18 years.
Okay, so Serena Williams has been she has 23 Grand Slam titles, 73 career titles.
Yeah,
Steffi Graf has 107 career titles, 22 Grand Slams. All right, Martina Navratilova has 24 Grand Slam titles and 192 titles.
Yep.
Okay. So you're going to go with Serena.
I'm not there.
Dictate that.
I'm going to go with Serena because Serena is currently playing. She's not done. And she seems to dominate her competition almost all the time. So I'm feeling like Serena Williams has probably got four or five more Grand Slams in her. She doesn't see showing any signs of slowing down. So I'm gonna put Serena Williams on my Mount Rushmore. It doesn't necessarily have to be one because a Mount Rushmore it's not ordered. So, but Serena Williams will be on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay, the first person that I'm putting on Mount Rushmore is Steffi Graf.
Okay.
And I am seeing that Steffi Graf has 107 titles and 22 Grand Slams.
Yeah.
So I am going Steffi Graf.
All right, and you know what? I will throw Steffi Graf onto my Mount Rushmore. So currently I have Serena Williams and Steffi Graf.
Okay.
Who's your second?
My second, Martina Navratilova.
Okay.
She has 167 titles, if I'm reading this correctly, which I don't know if I'm positive that I am. She has 18 Grand Slam titles. 9 Wimbledons.
Wow.
Yes.
She likes the grass.
Keep going. What do you have for your third?
Well, my third's going to be Martina Navratilova. So I think we're going to agree. We're going to have the same three on Mount Rushmore.
And Serena Williams is going to be on mine.
Yeah, so now it comes down to who is our fourth female tennis player on this Mount Rushmore.
Is it going to be Monica Williams?
Monica
Seles.
Yeah. Monica Seles. Or is it going to be Chris Everett? Is it going to be Billie Jean King? I mean, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that it's Chris Everett. Okay. I when Chris Everett was playing Martina Navratilova, when Martina Navratilova was she was Serena Williams before Serena Williams. She was stronger. She was bigger. She hit the ball harder. And Chris Everett was more of the finesse player. She was like the John McEnroe on the woman's side.
Right.
More of a finesse player, not the power player. Mm-hmm. And I used to root for Chris Everett every single time. When Martina Navratilova became as dominant as she did, Chris Everett had no chance.
Right.
You know, she had no chance. So I'm going to say Chris Everett. I like watching Chris Everett play. I like the finesse game. It wasn't the power game. It was the finesse game. So my Mount Rushmore is Chris Everett, Serena Williams, Martina Navratilova, and Steffi Graf.
You know, I'm struggling with this. I like that. I like what you selected. I'm struggling because there's just something for me about Billie Jean King. And I don't disagree with you with Chris Everett. I think she was amazing, but I just think, correct me if I'm wrong because I don't have a great memory, but I just remember Billie Jean King kind of being a little more popular in the sense that, you know, she stood up for different issues. She was very vocal. She was well liked by the tennis community. And
Billie Jean King was much more of a social maverick than the others.
Than Chris Everett.
And I think that one of the reasons why her name jumps out to you is because of that. Because she was such more of an activist than the others. Chris Everett was not an activist.
I hear you. And I guess
Martina Navratilova a little bit. Serena Williams, not really.
So I guess we can't really base it on an activist. So I really love Billie Jean King. But I will go. I think I'm gonna defer. And you made some great points as far as how good she is. So Chris,
hit record, Eric.
Chris Everett is will be my fourth.
That's
So we get the same four. So we got Serena Williams. We've got Steffi Graf. We've got Chris Everett and our Martina Navratilova.
What's interesting compared to the men's side, it was cut and dry based on stats, but we went by our hearts.
Yeah.
We were able to go by our hearts on that one. But this is on the women's side, it's kind of, besides Serena Williams, the other ladies were 80s, 90s, you know.
Yeah.
Even
earlier.
You know, not really.
Well, Billie Jean King was 70s, right?
We didn't choose her.
Yeah, no, I know.
But Chris Everett was 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Steffi Graf was 90s, early 2000s.
So we didn't go way back.
No. Martina Navratilova was 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
70s, 80s. So, hey, Thursday, let's preview what we got going on Thursday.
Yeah, so Thursday, Josh Spalding is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking Olympics.
Yeah, when do the Olympics begin?
Got no idea. It's pretty soon. Summer Olympics are coming up. They happen in
July.
The summer.
So Josh is going to be leaving soon.
Yeah, he's going to be heading over to, where is it? He's at
Japan. Tokyo.
Yeah,
Tokyo.
He's going over
Tokyo.
To Japan, yeah. So
and he reached out to us because he wants to come in and talk about all of it.
I want to talk.
And so we're going to have to do a little research.
Yeah.
I'm going to be prepared when he comes in.
You're always prepared,
Mike. But I'm going to be pumping Josh for some information on different things like, I don't know, what are some winter summer sports that...
Swimming. We want to talk swimming. I want to talk swimming.
We almost swim. The trials were on the other night.
Yeah, I know. That was fun to watch.
What are
I
some other ones, though? What are some other ones? Gymnastics, Simone Biles.
Yeah, gymnastics. You know,
Do you think ESPN will cover it? Do you think ESPN will cover
Probably someone? Not because, why would they do that? Because I bet Logan Paul It probably has something going on, some fight coming up. But I think track and field. I always like track and field.
Okay. We want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the MM Shop. Thanks to Faymore at Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Skelly's Market,
Water's Edge Salon,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Duran Independent Insurance,
Carroll County Oil,
Downtown Grill and Cafe,
Weston Auto Body,
Linda's Flowers,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
Full Belly Deli,
and the Full Belly Bar and Grill.
We'll be back Thursday at 4 o'clock.